going on, guys? Welcome to another episode here at the Side Guys Football Forum. I'm your one of your co-hosts over the side, joined as always by my good friend, my good buddy, the other half of the Side Guys, Mr. Tad the Side. And Tad, we're rolling along here. We're going heavy into all of our draft content. In our last episode, we did our quarterback talk. We sort of went through some of the hot topics surrounding the quarterback draft class of the 2024 NFL draft. So continue that trend. We're going to get to the next position here. We're going to talk about running backs here. Now, we did mention this in our last episode. We're not going to cover every position group in a podcast episode, but you see the social media ticker coming right down below. We will be dropping graphics for every single position group. So even if we don't get to it during an episode specifically, you will get to see our top 10 rankings for every single position group. So, I mean, guys, there may be some position groups that just won't warrant talking about it during a podcast, but that doesn't mean we won't cover our top 10s at the rankings. And it also doesn't mean that if you have questions about position groups, we'll give you our answers and our analysis through social media. So, guys, hit us up on all of those social media handles coming across the ticker down below. We'll plug them towards the end of the episode, too. But just want to make sure that, guys, if you have questions, like, don't be afraid to hit us up. We're here to give you those answers. We at Tad are going heavy on the research, so I mean, we have answers for you if you have questions.
And proof of that is one of our Instagram/Twitter followers messaged us on Instagram saying, "Is JJ McCarthy the guy?" And this was not me, but Amari responded being, "What the hell does that mean?" And I had the exact really same question.
What he meant? Yeah,
which, it was a very bad question, but it was. I'm glad that viewers say I'm not gonna call him out, but I'm glad he reached out because we did provide a very true answer, which was, and he did respond. He was like, "Oh, he's going to be top five." And Amir's response was, "Should he be? No. Will he be? Yes." Which is the right response. And but that's the kind of thing of like, we're not gonna, I know I'm a very long-winded person, trust me, my students have told me, but you don't need to agree so heavily. That's
this
not
podcast
necessary
is pure evidence of your long-windedness as well.
It's
so, I mean, believe
fine
me,
it's we're good info getting out there
of your of evidence in case people are like, "No, Tad's very short." No, I have 300
who
episodes.
The hell says I'm short? No one says that.
I don't know, there could be somebody out there, but I'm just saying I have close to 300 episodes to prove otherwise.
Point being is, if you want short and concise advice, Amir's gotcha. If you want some more in-depth and analytical, more well-researched advice, I gotcha.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
how
hurts.
About that?
That
yeah.
Hurts.
Either way, one of us has you. We will respond to your chat. It may take a day or two, but we got you, especially whether it, not just with social media chat either. Comment on YouTube. You know, send us chats over Twitter, over there as well. Is we will respond to any communication we get as long as it pertains to, you know, the NFL draft for the next month, because that is our main focus.
Exactly. And of course, we're on Instagram too. So please hit us up,
yep,
in the comments
well
there, or direct messaging there as well, guys. So please, it's a very busy time for us, but yeah, we still want to carve out time for you guys. If you have questions, we will make sure to give you answers. And guys, another great team of theirs is they're also always 100% right behind you, is that's the Underdog Fantasy team, because they're just, they're cooking right now, Tad. I mean, I say this every episode, the last handful of episodes here, is like, this is a good time to be a sports fan because there's a lot going on right now. We just had the first MLB game season kickoff, you know, first pitch, whatever you want to call it, opening weekend. That
kickoff
was yesterday.
Kickoff. So, when was that introduced into baseball?
They're introducing so many new
rules. Honestly, I do kind of like that. I do kind of like that idea. Have them kick off the first pitch. Just the first pitch. They just got to kick it towards the batter.
But we had opening day across Major League Baseball yesterday. We have opening weekend continuing this weekend. The NCAA March Madness tournament is continuing this weekend. NBA playoffs, I mean, that's right around the corner. So we're coming down to like the last teams trying to fight into the play-in tournament.
Hockey,
I mean, just
too.
A lot
hockey's
is going
coming
on
up.
Exactly. Hockey playoffs are right around the corner as well, but they got you covered across all sports, and they want you to get into the betting action because there's a lot of things you can be betting on. So why don't you use the promo code that they gave us here, DESAI, DESAI. You can double up on your initial deposit of $10 or more up to $500. So I mean, hypothetically, if you were to put in $500 into their account on your first deposit, only the first one, and you use our promo code, they will match that dollar for dollar. You can get up to $1,000 in betting credit on their betting platform. using that promo code DESAI, DESAI. And hey, guys, all you have to do is make anywhere between 2 and 5 different prop bet picks. The more picks you make, the more potential money you can win. And hey, guys, it's just really simple things across all the sports. Whatever you're more comfortable in, just make a bet and they got you covered there. So guys, use that promo code to drop for you again one more time. That is DESAI, DESAI. Double up on your initial deposit of $10 or more, up to $500 on the Underdog Fantasy platform. Guys, get to the action. It's a ton of fun for sure. And I mean, we're talking about it here, Tad. We're getting into all of our draft content. I'm pretty sure once we get closer to the draft, they'll have some draft content as well, including where that first running back may be taken. Like maybe there's going to be an over under as far as like, you know, is there going to be, you know, I'm pretty sure they'll have this prop bet on there because I'm not sure whether we're going to hit this one, but over under half running backs taken in the first round. I think this year we're not going to have one. Last year we had two with both Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. But I think this year, I mean, this is sort of the interesting thing as to why we want to talk about it. This position group in an episode specifically is just that there's a lot of question marks. Like, I mean, I don't think there's a clear-cut number one running back in anybody's eyes. Like, I mean, there's some consensus favorites. There's some that are like, no, I think it could be this guy. No, I think it could be this guy. I mean, there's like no, like I said, no overall, like everybody unanimous. This is the number one running back like we had last year with Bijan Robinson, like we had many years ago with Saquon Barkley. It's like we don't have that this year. And I think that brings a lot of intrigue into the draft rooms then as far as like, okay, we value this guy a little bit more. Maybe he's not the clear-cut number one, but I think he can suit our team the best here. But, I mean, you see the banner right down there below. If you're watching us on YouTube, we appreciate you. But just, Ted, let's start this question off. Just who is the number one running back? Like, I mean, in your eyes, like, I mean, I know you've been heavy at the scouting. I know I've been going heavy in the scouting as well. So we've been watching a lot of these running backs, some of the guys that are in contention to be that number one back. But I mean, in your eyes, who is that guy?
No, you absolutely nailed it on the head. What's the saying?
Hit the nail on the head.
Hit the nail on the head. Thank you. That's why
see, I'll give you a pass
that's
on
why, yeah, idioms, exactly. I appreciate
not
that.
So much it's, an ego teacher yeah, thing, but no, sometimes I, yeah, you can miss some of these words. I'm just like, come on, buddy.
Shut up. Anyway, point being is that's why you absolutely hit the hammer on the head is that was a good joke. That was great. Don't you shake your head at that. But I asked you.
Good joke to who? You. That is it.
That's all who matters. And our lovely, lovely listeners and viewers. But so I asked you, I asked a very good friend of mine who is coaching at a major D1 school. No, I will not say where. I asked, you know, all my other friends, that's not a professional source. But bottom line being is like, who is the best back in this year's class?
I will say your friends always have an opinion, though, so that's a good group to go to.
Yes, they do. Trust me. Yes, they do. But point being is everyone's giving me a different answer. Jason Davis is another source is who I reached out to. He thinks Jalen Wright, which I think is wrong. But, to his credit, he's like, no, man, he's not wrong in his reasoning of like he's a home run threat, which Jalen Wright absolutely is. But point being here is this is a very hard position group to evaluate this year. And it's, you know, this episode is coinciding with our release of our top 10 running backs. Making that list sucked because it's not so much of like, oh, this guy.
You've already
like,
made your list. I'm still working on
I'm like, still I mean, working on mine too.
We're releasing the graphics this weekend after this episode drops. But I mean, yeah, it's a very fluid list because like I said, it's just so many intangibles. One time I'm watching a tape of a guy, I like him a little bit more than another guy. But then all of a sudden watching the next day, it's like, I like this other guy again better.
Well, and I think this was, I'm sure the same thing is happening to me that's happening to you is that they're all equally good. It's just they're equally good at different things.
It's true.
It's like, true. What system are they going in? So, like, you know, yes, I may have one guy number 5. That doesn't mean I think he's worse than the 4 people above him. I just think that, you know, these specific skills are more, you know, adaptable to the NFL. So it's just in terms of number one back, I mean, I'm going to give a name, obviously, because we, you know, we need to make an episode. But that's not saying that I think this guy is head and shoulders above everyone else. And, you know, without further ado, let's just get into it. Is my number one guy is Jonathan Brooks. I know he's the popular pick. I get it.
He's a very popular pick, yeah.
But there's a reason why. Is because, you know, he's a very good, shifty, physical back. And it's funny because I watched the first tape of him I watched was against Kansas State. And if you watch that tape, you can find it on YouTube. It's the exact same video I watched where, you know, he has one good play in the first, you know, drive where I'm like, oh, okay, I see a little love for him now. And he has like, I'm not exaggerating, like 6 or 7 plays where he's just like 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards. And I'm just like, what is the love for this guy? And then all of a sudden he starts kind of like hitting his stride. And I'm like, okay, now I get the love for him. And it's both a strength and a weakness where he's a little bit too much of a patient runner, where he waits for his right opportunity and then he shows what he has. Show me what you have before that. Like, make the play. But he is very good at, like, when he gets that opportunity, he strikes. And when he strikes big time. So I think that Jonathan Brooks has the most immediate impact potential in this year's class. That's how I judge this, of like, who will I draft next year who could also impact my team in a positive way next year? There are a lot of guys I like a lot who are developmental guys, but in terms of who can impact my team in a positive way this next year, I think that it's hard to beat Jonathan Brooks.
I agree with you 100%. When I was watching tape of him, I was just like, why is everybody sort of putting this guy as their clear-cut number one running back? Because, I mean, across like some of the major publications out there, ESPN, Yahoo Sports, PFF.
I mean, it's like across the board, it's like, this guy's the best. And I was like,
he's the most common name I've seen. Yeah. And I was just like, I really just didn't get the love for him. I think just very much, you know, we're watching the same tape. I'm pretty sure on YouTube, there's, you know, lots of the similar videos out there. It's just like, yeah, I agree with you. Where it's like, sometimes he hits these holes with the burst and the sort of the speed that you want out of a running back. You're like, okay, this is what I like. But then other times it's just like, you see too much hesitation. You see him not following blocks properly. It's just like, he's leading to like these 1 or 2 yard gains. It's just like, what happened to, you know, patience I saw maybe a drive ago where it's just like, okay, he's waiting for the blocks to set up. Then he hits it open. He gets like a 7 or 8 yard gain. And all of a sudden he does it again. And all of a sudden cranks it out for like a 25 yard gain. So it's just like, I'm just not seeing it consistently with Jonathan Brooks. So,
well, and
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I'll say this, and this was a comparison I was truly like, God, he reminds me of this guy. And I was like, is it the dreads? Is it the, you know, number? What is happening here? And I will say this. I think he's going to be Aaron Jones. I think he's Aaron Jones. Because if you think about it, that's exactly what Aaron Jones would do. He would break off for like 150 yards one game, and you'd be like, oh my God, this guy's fucking amazing. And then the very next game, he had like 30 yards. And you're like, what the hell happened? And like, it's not lack of talent around him, especially going back to the Aaron Jones comparison, because Aaron Jones had Bakhtiari when he was healthy, and Aaron Rodgers when he wasn't an idiot and running for VP. So it was just like all these things of like, I think that, you know, Jonathan Brooks is a perfect kind of like decent future number one running back. He will not blow you away at any point, I don't think. But if he goes to the right team, he has the potential to be what Bijan Robinson was supposed to be last year.
Interesting. That's a pretty intense take.
If he goes the right team, I'm throwing still, that qualifier
like,
on there.
Yeah, just I didn't see that same skill set, I guess, with that Bijan Robinson-esque type of, you know, skill set available. So just like, I mean, even if he lands with the right team, it's like, I think he's going to be a very good starting running back. But just, I feel like Bijan Robinson can take it to another level, be that sort of like elite rusher,
I think Brooks has that potential too.
Okay. Hey, and this is why we sort of have this discussion, because it's like, I don't see it.
Is Texas did him dirty, because Texas rated him almost exclusively as a shotgun. You give it that man a magical new position that's been around for about, 60 years now, called the fullback. You put a big man in front of him, then I think, because like you said, I think we both agree on this point, is like his vision's not the best. Like he gets a little too like shifty for his own good. Well, you put a big ass motherfucker in front of him that buys him a couple seconds of time. All of a sudden, I think his value shoots up. So I think that Texas, that system he was working in, did him no favors.
That's fair. The only thing that sort of concerns me, and then we'll close it out here before I bring up my pick, is just that getting the torn ACL November, and you're saying you want that impact for this coming season in 2024. I all reports are saying that he's going to be completely healthy by training camp and he should be good to go by week one. But yeah, exactly. That's the big question mark. It's just like, you haven't seen him do anything during the combine. Obviously, you got some measurements, but like no running the 40, no position work, no pro day work. And so just like, you're going off the tape alone. It's just like, I know we've had this in the past with a lot of prospects, obviously, but just like, that's the one thing that concerns me too. So it's just like, can he sort of rebound and be the guy that sort of a lot of people are pegging him to be? Or would that injury sort of shift his running style and make him, you know, still, like I said, a very good running back, but sort of something that I'm seeing on tape is just like, he could be a very good running back, but I don't know if he could reach that sort of like, the way you're sort of describing it, be that elite level running back.
I don't know if I can. No. I never said elite. I said ceiling is Aaron Jones. Would you say Aaron Jones is elite?
No, definitely not.
So I never said elite. All I'm saying is
but you also said Bijan Robinson-esque, like in a previous statement.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Is Bijan Robinson all of a sudden elite? I missed that memo.
I think he could get to that
He's
level.
He's not going to be elite. Get
I
out
think
of
he
here.
Can. I
oh,
think
get
he can.
Out of here.
Okay, based on what I saw,
that's
I think
another
he can.
Debate. That's another debate.
That's a topic for another
that's
day.
That's a debate we've been having for a year and a half now.
That is true. That is also very true. But I'm going to get to the guy that I want to talk about as my running back number one here, and that's Trey Benson, the running back out of Florida State. I was watching this guy and just like, the skill set that he's showing me, it's like I'm seeing a well-rounded running back. I'm seeing the speed. I'm also seeing the power. He's a guy that I think very much similar to Jonathan Brooks. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time as well. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be a day one instant impact type of guy. He's going to get some work early in his rookie season, obviously, but he's not going to be the guy that I'm sort of describing right now as being like a very good lead back in a backfield for sure. I think it's going to take a little bit of development, but I mean, there's a lot of things that I like here. I mean, just his vision has grown. Like what we're talking about, Jonathan Brooks, like I already see it with Trey Benson. Like he's following his block properly. He's got a chance to like, you know, just be a very good running back. When he's seeing the running lanes, he's bursting through them. He's got the right acceleration. Sometimes when the lanes are very small, he's able to slither through and avoid defenders, get to the second level, chunk out these huge gains on the ground. I mean, just churns his leg constantly. Like, these are the things that you sort of want from running backs. Running back coaches say this all the time. It's like, keep your legs moving because that's how you get those extra yards even after you're wrapped up. I see this consistently with Trey Benson. Just keeps those legs working, gets those yards after contact. Even with a couple guys on him, he's still gaining, you know, everywhere from like, you know, 2 to 4 extra yards after being wrapped up. Florida State did use him a ton in the running passing game, excuse me, but I mean, I did see a few chances where he was catching the ball.
I'm sure you watched the same play as I did. I forget who. I think it was against maybe it wasn't LSU because that's an SEC team, but maybe it was Clemson, but he made a crazy sideline catch.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what the play you're talking about. It was a throw by Jordan Travis. It's a sideline throw. He was running up the field. He makes a turn back around.
Yeah,
and
yep, that's the one. Yeah. Was that Clemson? Who was that against?
I don't remember who that was against either, but it might have been Louisville, if I remember correctly, actually.
That's crazy. And for our viewers and listeners who were like, okay, explain it to us, is he basically turned his entire body, caught, yeah, and they challenged it. It's like, oh, I think it was Louisville, now that you say it, because it was a bunch of red jerseys on the sideline, yeah, be like, it's incomplete. Sure. It's doing the incomplete thing. And they reviewed it. It would have been a catch in the NFL.
It's true.
Yeah, both feet down.
Feet inside. Yeah, so it was a very impressive catch. So I see the abilities there to be a pass catcher out of the backfield as well. The only thing that I will say is that he's not an ankle breaker. So, I mean, he's not going to be out there, you know, LeSean McCoy you. He's not going to Barry Sanders you. But I see enough that it's like he could shake some of the, like, you know, less athletic defenders and he could easily get by them to get huge gains. But, yeah, some of your more athletic defenders that we're seeing, obviously, coming into the NFL, they may be able to wrap him up and not get shaken out of their cleats as easily. There are times where I see run a little bit more upright as opposed to like getting low and avoiding sort of the and try to lower the boom as sort of being more of a power back. So I mean, there's times where it's like a defender can easily wrap him up top and he'll go down very quickly. But if he ran a little bit lower, you know, not exactly drop the shoulder, because I mean, that's kind of illegal now. You can't do that in the NFL. But it's just like, if he runs a little bit with lower to the ground, it sort of drops his shoulder to an extent and still make it illegal, sort of like, you know, stiff arm, drop the shoulder sort of thing. I think he could be a little bit more dynamic to get more yards after the run that way. But just, there's a lot that I like. I think just a few things he needs to develop. I think he can slowly develop into a three-down running back that, like I said, can become a very dependable running back on any team's backfield there. So as of right now, Once again, though, it's like this is as of right now. But okay, like, I like Jalen Wright too. I also like Jonathan Brooks.
Whoa, whoa,
as of right
whoa,
now,
whoa.
I'm picking Dre Benson.
Let me say this. I think this is the case for both of us. Is like, again, this is our top 10, as I'm putting quotes for our podcast listeners. In all reality, this is 1A, B, C, D,
it's kinda
E,
true.
F, G. Like, they're all these guys because, and I'll just go right into my analysis here, is I like Dre Benson too. Yeah. He's not my number one, but he's my number three right now because
that's fair. That's fair.
And he's really, really good. And in fact, he's the only, you know, running back I've used the most patented word in our podcast, which I've yet to use during our draft coverage so far. My friend, I like your pick because that running back shows some great finacity.
Oh, yes.
He has the finacity factor. Because, like, I was watching him. And yeah, the entire time I'm like, holy shit, this dude runs with some effort. Mm-hmm, like he is really, really good. And yes, he doesn't quite live up to my expectations for number one running back. His, like you said, his shiftiness, his ability to kind of change direction, not quite there. So I'm like, okay. And so I like Dre Benson a lot, but let me pull up my notes on him real quick. He's a good pass catcher. The very few times I did use him, we already touched on that, but the very few times I did use him, he made the most out of it. Impressive vision. Now it's funny. You said something earlier. I may be paraphrasing you here, but you were like, "Oh no, he has the you know power." Does he though? Because that's the one like real big negative I found on him was when like teams tend to grab him, he doesn't tend to break out of it. So does he have that strength? Yeah.
And well, like I said, I think that's something he still needs to develop further, but there were times like against lesser defenders, he was able to overpower them. But yeah, 100% he still needs to develop his power. Yeah. I agree.
And because I'll say this, his running style, I'm not comparing him to this player. I'm just saying his running style is similar.
Loving at the shovel.
Oh man, you're going to love this one. The first couple plays I watched of him, of that Louisville game, assuming it was Louisville, I was like, oh my God, he runs like Adrian Peterson. But tell me I'm wrong. Does he not have a similar play style to Adrian Peterson?
Very
north
south. I see very flashes of it. Yeah. North south runner. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, north south runner. Like, not really the shifty type of guy that's like going to juke you out. And before people yell at me, yes, I know Adrian Peterson juked people out, but that was not his main move. Adrian Peterson's main move was, I'm not that fast. I'm just going to run past you because I'm just slippery. And that's kind of the same thing with Benson. The thing is, Benson's not that strong yet. But as we always say on this podcast, especially when it comes to draft coverage, strength is very easy to develop in the NFL. So, no, I like Benson a lot. I liked him more than I thought I would. He's going to be interesting. It's just,
that's something you can say with every running back, though.
It's so hard. This position is so hard. We're going to do it all over again. We're going to have this exact same conversation when it comes to receivers. I just know it.
Ooh, the
receivers is going to be so hard. Because all of it depends on team fit. That's why, like I said, like show friend Jason Davis keeps hitting me up for his Dynasty Fantasy League. Like, who do I draft? I'm like, I don't know until I know where they are. Because... I'm sorry for the draft at this point.
Well, it's actually funny that you sort of bring up team fit here, Tad, because that's the next topic that I want to get to. Because yeah, you obviously brought up Jonathan Brooks, obviously brought up Dre Benson, but I'm pretty sure somebody else may have a different running back at number one or the top five or 100% in the top 10 as well. But I think exactly like you said, I brought this up before so many times in some of our podcasts, it's just like, even though, you know, draft analysts and people in the media may rank a certain position player higher than another, depending on the team's drafting at certain spots, they may take a position player, a player in a certain position class in a different order because it'll fit their scheme a little bit better. I mean, I've done this, you know, luckily I've been 2-for-2 on this one, but J.C. Horn versus Patrick Surtain. I had J.C. Horn going ahead of Patrick Surtain because he was going to fit the Carolina Panthers earlier. He went to Carolina, and then obviously Patrick Surtain went one pick later to the Denver Broncos. I did this again with Devin Witherspoon, and God, I always blank on this guy when we get Christian Gonzalez, yes. I don't know.
You son of a bitch.
I always forget this one. I'm sorry. But once again, with Seattle, I picked that Devin Witherspoon would go there because they value his running sort of style, like stopping
his more physical style. Exactly, yeah.
Physical aggressiveness there more than Christian Gonzalez. Both very good defensive backs, but just that happened here. So with the running back, this is 100% going to be the case.
100%. And I have another great example of this is Jackson Smith-Njigba. going to Seattle, and Puka Nacua. I was just like, if you flip those positions, I don't think either one would have been as successful as they were. It's like Najigba fit a certain need of like, we just need a speedy little slot guy, and Nacua fit a certain need of like, you know, basically we need the next Cooper Kupp, who is a very good route runner who can catch some balls. But I think if you would have flipped them, both of them would have been like, meh. Okay, no, they're good. They're solid, whatever. And it's just like, yeah, it's all about the fit in the system.
Exactly. So let's get to some team running back fits here, Tad. So who's a fit that you want to talk about that's like, if this were to happen in the draft, and, you know, possibly, I don't know how you laid it out in your notes here, but just like, what's a more possible fit as well? Like, I mean, just based on how the draft will lay out, like, is this a possible fit as well?
I think this I think this is very possible fit. Cause I didn't even think outside of that, of like, what's like the dream scenario. I probably will think about that while you give your pick, but, no, I think this is both a very possible scenario and my dream scenario. And because I fell in love with this play, the more I watched him, I felt kind of bad. Cause we've been on podcasts talking about him before. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch a whole lot of tape on him before. So I was kind of just like, yo, like, all right, just talk about him as much as you can. The more I watch this guy, the more I love him. And honest to God, he may be number 3 on my top 10 rankings. I don't know yet. Marshawn Lloyd to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Marshawn Lloyd to the Cincinnati Bengals. That'd be a pretty good fit. I actually see a lot of Joe Mixon in him. Like, I think that could sort
that
of
is literally out. In my notes. I was like, he's Joe Mixon. He is Joe Mixon.
Perfect. Yeah, because I think that's a perfect fit. They also have a need there. They only signed Zach Moss in the offseason. So, yeah, I mean, continue with the take because, yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
So, I mean, obviously they need a number one running back. Nothing against Zach Moss. Because Zach Moss is better than I gave him credit for. I will say that. It's like he is more productive, but that man cannot be running back number one.
You also wonder, like, which Zach Moss are you going to get? Because is this going to be the Buffalo Zach Moss where it was like, you saw the flashes? Or is it going to be the Indianapolis Zach Moss that was like, okay, this guy's taking over Jonathan Taylor. Let me show you what I can do as to why it was a second round pick. But then it's just like, all right, it's such a short span. Who are you going to get in Cincinnati? So as a lead back, yeah, I'd be a little wary too.
And that's why I like this fit so much with Marshawn Lloyd is because, you know, there are a lot of things to like about him. Is he has great explosiveness, great like shiftiness. He just looks like a natural runner, which I know doesn't sound like great analysis, but you know when you see it. I'm just like, that man knows how to be a running back.
Like you said, it was the same thing that I was talking about with Devin Leary, which is like, I don't think he's going to be drafted that high. He's probably going to go in the very last rounds or possibly even undrafted, but just the ball looks good coming out of his hands. Yeah, like he just looks like a quarterback. It's just like, that's what it is.
And this guy just looks like a running back. It's just like, it's that type of thing. And the only couple complaints I have about him is like his field vision needs a little bit of improvement, but basically he does everything. And normally I say this, he does everything well. Marshawn Lloyd does not do everything well. He does everything good. And yes, I'm aware that's improper grammar. Shut up. But he does everything good. And what that tells me is if he has the right coaching, he has the potential to be great. And so I think him going to Cincinnati where, you know, sure, he splits the duties with Zach Moss. He doesn't have those immediate pressures put on him with other teams, as we will mention in a bit. I think he'll be okay. I think he can develop into the next Joe Mixon. Or another comparison I had for him, because I was looking at him, I was like, God, you're shifty. You see everything well, but you're not really fast, but somehow you still make the most of it. I was like, God, I don't know what to make of you. You know the last running back that frustrated me this much like that? Is Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, okay.
And even when the Colts drafted him, I was happy, but I was like, I don't know. I was like, is he going to be good? Is he not? But like, because I wasn't sure if those skills were going to transfer to the NFL, and Jonathan Taylor is the exact same running back he was in the NFL as he was in college. And I think that Marshawn Lloyd has that exact same potential of like, no, he's not great at anything. Like, is he really shifty? No. Is he really elusive? No. Is he really fast? No. Is he bad at anything at any of those things? No. And so I was just like, I don't know where to go with this. And then, you know, Jonathan Taylor, is Jonathan Taylor the fastest running back in the NFL? No,
definitely not.
No. Is he the shiftiest?
Definitely not.
No. Is he a top 5 running back in the NFL?
Yes, he is.
Exactly. I don't know how it works. That's just one of those weird things with football where I'm just like, All right, it just works. And I get the exact same vibe from Marshawn Lloyd. I absolutely love this kid. I think the Bengals could land him in the third. If he is there at the top of third round, and I'm Cincinnati's GM, please do not ask me his name. I don't know. If I'm Cincinnati's GM, I'm calling up every team and being like, what do you want for me to trade up? Because that would be the starter for the future you can get in the third or fourth round right there.
Yeah, I do like Marshawn Lloyd quite a bit. And yeah, I agree with you. That's just like he does a lot of things pretty well or pretty good. I don't really want to label it there. But just, yeah, there's very few things that I would knock against him. And being a running back in the NFL or being a player in the NFL doesn't mean you have to be the fastest. Doesn't mean you have to be the strongest. But just like if you can understand the game well enough.
Smartest.
You can play the position.
If you're
exactly,
smart,
you
you're going
to
be fine. Smartest.
You'll be able to make it in the NFL. So maybe that's exactly what Jonathan Taylor's doing. Maybe that's something exactly what Marshawn Lloyd can do as well. Just know your system backwards and forwards and just be a guy that can just sort of take care of anything.
He's
understanding
so explosive.
It's so much
fun to watch.
He's got a lot of explosive, you know, ability in him. And I saw that definitely on the tape when I was watching too. But yeah, 100% when you said Marshawn Lloyd to Cincinnati, which I did see beforehand. So I mean, people were like, well, of course you would say that you agree that you saw beforehand. No, I did not see this pick beforehand. And just like, yeah, as the more when you brought it up, I was just like, you know what? I could see some Joe Mixon in it, but I could see that.
They're ready to compete too. They don't have time to wait for a guy to develop. And this guy needs Marshawn Lloyd really only needs like 1 year development. And then I think he'll be right there at Joe Mixon's level.
I like it. So I'm going to go with the guy that you already brought up as your number one running back, but I think he's going to slide because of what I talked about with that sort of torn ACL happening in November. I think he's going to slide in this case. So I'm going with Jonathan Brooks going to the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God damn it.
It happened here.
Why?
Well, you look at this.
That's
and it's
perfect.
Like actually
That's
kind of funny.
So perfect. God damn
it's
it.
Actually kind of funny because I've been reading a lot of articles with like, you know, some bold predictions on the NFL draft, looking at things on social media, obviously. And some people are sort of pointing out there that I actually don't think is that out of the realm of a possibility, but no running backs could be taken in the top 50. And the more that I looked at all the picks, I was like, I don't think a running back will be taken in the first round, but somewhere in that top of the second round, that's possibly where you can see a running back. But I was looking at all the teams. You got the Patriots at 34. They could be a possibility to draft a running back.
They just re-signed Ramondre, though, didn't they?
They have Ramondre. They just signed Antonio Gibson. So, I mean, there's a possibility that they may add to that room. It's a possibility. You got the Commanders at 36 and 40. I know they signed Austin Eckler. They have Brian Robinson Jr., but Brian Robinson Jr. dealing with some injuries. Austin Eckler obviously dealt with a lot of injuries last year. So, it's like maybe they need another guy in there to possibly, you know, add to that committee there. You got the Chargers at 37. Like, I mean, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Jim Harbaugh likes to run the ball. I think that's no secret at all.
It's going
to
be Corum.
It could be Corum. It could be a different running back. We'll see about that. Maybe they want to draft a running back at round three. We'll see about that, but just they're a possibility at 37. But outside of that, all the other teams don't really need a running back, or they need one that highly where they need to draft one in the second round. I think they could probably get one on day three possibly. So Dallas Cowboys don't pick until 56, and so I think in this situation, even with the teams that I listed, like we started talking about earlier at the top of the episode, where it's just like different teams are going to value running backs in a different way based on their scheme fit. And I think exactly like I just said, where the injury and not knowing exactly what you're going to get with Jonathan Brooks, even though a lot of people are picking him as an RB1, Tad included, obviously, I think he may slide to 56 in the Dallas Cowboys with the need at the running back position, because last offseason, they let Ezekiel Elliott walk. This past offseason, they let Tony Pollard walk. They have a hole at the running back position, Tad, because if you're looking at the running back room, I'm going to read you their running back room.
All right. Deuce Vaughn, let me guess. Oh, shit. Who is after him? I should not have done this.
you should not have done this. There's maybe one guy I think you can get, but the other two you're not getting.
No, I got it. Darren McFadden.
Nope.
Felix Jones.
No.
I'm out of hole running backs.
Even for the Cowboys, you could have got Julius Jones. You could have got DeMarco
Murray.
Who the
hell is Julius Jones?
You could have got
DeMarco Murray. Damn it.
There's a lot of guys.
Damn it. I knew there was one in my range.
Marion Barber
III.
Marion
Barber. This is why I'm terrible at Immaculate Grid.
That is true. But yeah, so their current running back room, Tad, is Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dowdle, who they just re-signed, Malik Davis, and Snoop Cotter, who they signed in the offseason away
from Jacksonville. His name is Snoop Dogg, get it right.
So it's not a running back room, that's going to, you know, strike fear in opposing defenses unless they go with the committee approach. I mean, just I don't know what it's going to look like, but clearly they could use an upgrade. They definitely need.
I don't know if you saw this, but there's a report that they may bring Zeke back.
I did hear that.
I think that's a terrible solution. I think that that will not absolutely not fix the problem. In fact, that may add to the problem. But apparently it's Zeke. And who was the other running back they were thinking about bringing in?
Well, I know that there was like some quote unquote interest in Derrick Henry, but apparently he priced him out. But I don't even think Dallas was all that serious on
him. No, it was some guy available now. It was Zeke and someone else very old now. But it seems like they're just like, hey, let's plug the veteran Band-Aid on. It's like, why do that when you could get Jonathan Brooks?
Well, even if they go that route, it's still, like you said, not the perfect solution to solve your running back woes.
It's a bad solution. It's not the perfect solution.
It could be more of a detriment than a solution. Exactly. So yeah, I agree with you. They need to add to the running back room. And like I said, Jonathan Brooks, I think that injury is going to scare away some team scouts as far as like, I don't know what we're going to get from him. But because local kid there going to the University of Texas, the Dallas Cowboys are supposedly all in, even though they have made no really significant free agent signing moves. Maybe they're going to go all in on the draft. Maybe there's a possibility. They hear some rumblings that some of those teams at the top there, they're looking to sort of possibly draft a running back. Maybe the Cowboys have to move up to get one. But if not, I think there's a very likely scenario where Jonathan Brooks slides to them at 56 and they're able to take him and they get themselves that bell cow running back. For everything that you already listed out, there's a lot of potential that I like with Jonathan Brooks. I think he could solve that bell cow problem with them in the Dallas Cowboys. And honestly, like I said, give them a true number one running back that they sort of lacked since Ezekiel Elliott left the team.
No, I'm 100% agree. 100%. I know that does not make for very good podcasting, but I agreed with you with
Marshawn Lloyd going to Cincinnati. So yeah, I mean, sometimes the fits are just good.
I will say this, the one thing I disagree with you on is I don't think they take him at 56. I think, look, it's draft day, right? And I use that terminology very much on purpose. It's draft day. Crazy shit happens. Kevin Costner goes in, somehow gets 3 top 10 picks. All of a sudden the whole draft order is fucked up. So I think that Dallas is going to panic come day 2. And while I'm at the Airbnb in Fort Worth, we had not told our listeners that is going to be very interesting. But while we are live streaming, I think Dallas will trade in to the top 15 of the second round to get Jonathan Brooks. I think that, you know, especially because, I mean, just think it has all the makings of it. They need a running back. They have arguably the best running back in the draft. And Jerry Jones goes, hey, we can bring the Texas guy and keep him in Texas, which, you know, I know it sounds stupid, but you know that's how Jerry Jones thinks.
It's very possible. This is going to be
a big marketing thing of like, hey, this big like UTA guy is going, that shows I live in Texas. I don't say UT, I say UTA. This big, like, you know, Longhorn, he's going to stay in the state and we have him like that. It just reeks of a Jerry Jones move. So I actually think that Dallas is going to trade up for him.
Like I said, it's not out of the realm of possibility to see that happening as well. But even if they decide to sit tight and stay at 56, there's still a very high likelihood that Jonathan Brooks could fall to them at 56.
No, that's absolutely 100%.
But they end up falling into their laps and they actually get, like I said, potentially the number one running back in this year's draft class all the way at 56 in the middle of the second round.
Well, and hence why I bring up, it just depends how these trades work out.
It's true.
Like, because like I think if the Rams jump up ahead of the Cowboys, all of a sudden that's an interesting talking point of like, oh, could the Rams take him? Because I think he'd be a very good fit for the Rams system. And so, like, that's the whole thing of, like, who is ahead of Dallas before 56 when that day comes? But as of now, no, it wouldn't shock me at all if he fell to 56.
Yeah, the way the draft is shaking out right now, there's no trades, obviously. Like I said, I list out the teams that are potentially going to take a running back at those positions there. But outside of that, like the other teams, like, I mean, I really just don't see them investing a second-round pick into a running back. But like you said, crazier things have happened in the NFL draft. So, I mean, yeah, we'll have to wait and see exactly how it all plays out. But yeah, Jonathan Brooks landing with the Dallas Cowboys, very, very good fit, especially for fantasy purposes as well. I really like that situation too.
He would be, I mean, speaking of Bijan Robinson, he would be this year's Bijan Robinson.
A lot of people
would value him. He would be a late first rounder in fantasy drafts if that happened.
A lot of people will value it that way, 100%. But yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, Tad. Let's actually wait to the draft before we start talking about the draft and fantasy football.
I'm getting my itch, man.
That's a summer take.
Damn it.
But yeah, lots to get in there for sure. But all right, Tad, let's sort of close this out with some running backs that we either, you know, are high on, a little bit low on. These could be big name guys. These could be smaller name guys. I mean, just whatever it is. Just this is the gambit here. It's a very deep I say deep with sort of like loose terms there because it's middle.
And I'm glad actually you brought that up because I've heard a lot of analysts be like, well, this year's, you know, running back class is pretty weak. It's not weak. It's just, you know, we say that we use the term top heavy a lot, especially in this year's draft. You know, your offensive tackle is very top heavy, which it is. Mm-hmm. You know, edge rushers are very top heavy, which it is. Top heavy. Yeah, I actually disagree with that. I think quarterback's pretty deep.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Yeah. See, we should have had a discussion last episode. There are a lot of positions that are top. This one's just middle heavy. There's no guy where I'm like, oh, that guy's amazing. But there's very few guys where I'm like, oh, no, he sucks. Like, I got to get through at least like 8 running backs before I'm just like, meh.
That's true. That's very, very true. So, I mean, like, yeah, I would say
middle heavy.
More like a looser term where it's just like there's a lot of running backs that can provide instant value for your team, regardless of where you draft them, anywhere between rounds 1 through 7 or possibly even undrafted too. Just there's that sort of like small talent that they could carve out a role on your team there for sure. So, I mean, Tad, who's a guy that you either are liking a lot or not liking a lot, depending on where they are? But just, yeah, let's talk about some other running backs here.
Okay. I know I talked about him a lot, so he's not my pick, but I just had to give him a shout out because I love this guy. And I honest to God think that he is the next breakout. Like where the hell did the 6th round running back come from? Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State.
I'm a big fan of him too. I rewatched his
so
tape
good.
A couple days ago. I was just like, I really am a fan of his. I really am a fan of his.
He is so good. I love him. And on top of it, Blake Corum. I would love to talk about him more, but I feel like he's talked about enough as like the Michigan guy. So I want to talk about a guy who I had heard of, but I never really watched any of his tape up until this episode. And I watched, oh God, like 5 or 6 of his games. And every time I was sitting there going, oh my God, I'm like, because the first game I watched of his was against Florida. And I was like, okay, Florida had a pretty weak defense last year. So, like, maybe this was the exception. And then I watched him against Missouri. A Missouri defense, by the way, that has, what, at least 4 or 5 guys that are going to get drafted on it. So I was like, okay, this is more of a pro ready. Ran all over them. I was just like, okay. You know, second time's not to the charm. Let's keep watching. So I kept watching. And the more I watched, I'm like, this guy's amazing. He's my number 2 running back on my top 10. And that is Ray Davis. The running back out of Kentucky.
He is
so damn
He was always good. My pick for this section, too. Like, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Ray Davis.
So good, dude. I don't understand how this man is not getting more love. He is so – and here's the thing that I love the most out of running backs is – and this is my criticism with most running backs is, yeah, you looked really good there. And this is – oh, God, I'm blanking on his name. Cody Schrader, the running back at Mizzou, who's getting a lot of love. This is my biggest criticism on him is, yes, he does have good explosiveness. He has good – I'm so excited I can't talk anymore. He has good explosiveness. He has good quickness. He has good speed. But the problem is if you really watch Cody Schrader's tape, that only pops out when the O-line creates it for him. I want a running back that can create his own space. And oh my God, can Ray Davis create his own play? He does this thing I love the most in running back, and you can tell how excited I am just by watching him, is he'll do this thing where he like huddles behind a receiver or a lineman, and then all of a sudden he'll be like, there's my hole, and they'll break out and just totally go after it and just break it off for like 50 yards. It's the coolest fucking thing I've seen out of any running back in this year's draft class. He is so damn good, and like I said, he is, in my honest to God opinion, the 2nd best running back. Does he have that breakaway speed? No, but he has that natural shiftiness. Like we talked about before, he just looks like a running back. He's so good. Really, I swear to God, guys, I was trying to be as unbiased as possible. I was like, all right, look for a weakness. I know you love this guy. Look for a weakness. I couldn't find one. The biggest weakness of his I could find was, and this is a legitimate weakness because this will cost team points. Is, like I said, he's very good at breaking out to the second level. When he gets to the second level, he gets a little too fancy for his own good. It's like him versus 1 safety, and it's just like, just run past the safety. But instead, he just wants to like do the whole like juke like side to side thing, and then the safety gets him because that's the, you know, safety's whole job. And so it's like, all right, stop trying to like outsmart. Like once you're clear, just go. And like that's my biggest complaint about him. But Ray Davis out of Kentucky, he is absolutely amazing. He is not going to be second, third, maybe even fourth running back taken. He's just not getting that type of publicity. And I don't know where he's going to go. Honestly, he could be the shocking player that slips to the fifth or sixth round, but whoever gets him is going to get an absolute steal of a running back. I love this guy.
Yeah, no argument for me, because, yeah, believe me, when I watch the tape of Ray Davis, it's just like I'm very much very high on this guy as well. I think, yeah, he's easily a top five running back for me too. And, yeah, whoever drafts him, I think they're absolutely going to get an absolute bind wherever they draft him. I have him right now pegged as a fourth round running back because, like I said, I see the talent there. I think that's
fair, but you have to remember these running any position really. There's always a couple surprise players who take a tumble, but especially a running back, and that's what worries me. Is he so middle of the road in terms of rankings? Of like, I think he could take that a very surprising, unfortunate tumble.
No, and I don't disagree with you. I think he's going to be a day three running back. But like I said, as of like based on what I'm seeing, I have him pegged as a fourth round running back. But yeah, I don't doubt that he may slip into the fifth, possibly even the sixth round too. The only thing that I'll also counter you with, which is unfortunately a big concern for me, is that he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie, which we talked about a lot with the quarterbacks. Fair. And probably there's a lot of other rookies that are going to be the same thing. But here's the bigger thing that worries me. He's logged 840 touches in his five-year career. So that's a lot of tread on the tire, unfortunately, that's coming off, especially coming into 24. Like, if he was still 20, like, I mean, then there's still a lot of little bit of longevity there. But coming into 24, and you already logged that much, it's like, that's a little concerning for me. So, yeah, that's another reason that I can see him slipping a little bit further because there's just a lot of usage in that Kentucky offense. But just – I remember also one play I was watching Ray Davis. Then I'll stop it here because, believe me, I could talk for an hour.
He's so good. I love that you love him too because, I was watching him. I'm just like – I love you.
You were so him good. And Isaiah Davis, they're two of my sleeper running backs.
If he really was like 3 inches taller, maybe like 20 pounds bigger, he'd be my clear-cut number one, no contest.
Oh, yeah, he has that talent. But just there's one play where he's running a wheel route coming out of the backfield, and Devin Leary hits him on a dot. But he tracks the ball so perfectly in the corner of the end zone. I don't remember who they were playing, so you may or may not have seen his tape. But just like he tracks the ball so perfectly, and very similar to some of the other running backs we talked about, he didn't get used a lot in the passing game at Kentucky. They just threw it to everybody else. But just on this play specifically, he ran the route really well, got past the linebacker. Devin Leary threw it perfectly as well. And just he tracked the ball perfectly, caught it at the corner of the end zone, and scored the touchdown. I was just like, this is something you could develop because you saw it on that one play. That's like he's tracking the ball well, caught the ball nicely, hung onto the ball too, and obviously scored the touchdown. So I was like, yeah, that alone, plus all the skills that you already mentioned, is just like, yeah, huge fan of Ray Davis, 100%. I'm going to get to the guy that I want to talk about. I've talked about it before, but honestly, I think it's very similar to Ray Davis. He just doesn't get talked about enough. And I think I see the talent there, even though maybe a lot of people don't see the talent there. And maybe, like I said, maybe that's just my personal bias because of who his dad is. But Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Mississippi.
Here's, I'm telling you right now, before you get into your analysis, who did you talk about the most last year? Do you remember?
I don't.
It was Jake Moody.
That is true. That is true.
And who did the 49ers end up taking?
They did take Jake Moody.
That's all right, true. You're sealing the seal. You're locking it right now. Is Frank Gore Jr. is going to be a 49er. Because whoever the hell you talk about the most is going to be a 49er.
I hope so. Because, that would be cool.
I'm not going to lie. That would be
pretty
cool.
That would be an excellent addition to the team.
That would be pretty sweet.
I could also see, like, we're talking about Fitz. I could also see Jim Harbaugh taking Frank Gore Jr. probably on day three. Because, obviously, he coached his dad in San Francisco. So, like, that's a possibility, too. They're doing this weird reunion
thing. Hey. He could go to his dad's other former team. Indianapolis Colts.
He's got a couple teams. He's got a couple of them for sure. But just like the Chargers already signed Navarro Bowman to be the linebackers coach. So I don't doubt like they
bring Navarro Bowman's a coach.
Yeah, he's their linebackers coach now. So I don't doubt like they bring in Frank Gore as like a running back advisor if they draft his son. Like I could see that happening in Los Angeles if that were to pan out. But I can also see the same thing happening here in San Francisco if the Niners would draft him. But like I said, I'm very excited about this guy. Maybe it's not going to work out, but just once again, for me, it's just like I see it, and I see a lot what his dad did. I see it in the tape with him as well. He's just patient. He's a smaller running back that's sort of getting, you know, not the same hype, because it's very similar with Frank Gore, too, coming out of the University of Miami, where they had a good track record with Clinton Portis coming out of Miami. They had Willis McGahee coming out of Miami. So it's like all these guys. Frank Gore unfortunately suffers some injuries, so that's why he ended up going in the third round. Otherwise, he would have gone a lot higher. He came in like he doesn't have the fastest speed. He wasn't the strongest guy, but he just had that will and determination that I also see with Frank Gore Jr. I'm seeing a little bit more speed with Frank Gore Jr. as well. He was the offensive MVP of the Shrine Bowl. I don't know if you remember that, but I think there's a lot of talent in this guy. He's a natural runner. I mean, just there's a lot of things that you can like with this guy, and he'll be just an excellent addition that you can get on day three. There are a few things that obviously he needs to work on. Like I said, the speed threat thing is not all the greatest. So, I mean, if you're valuing that speed, that's not a guy that you want to be taken, but I think he understands the game enough. Like you said, we're talking about Jonathan Taylor, where it's like he's not the fastest guy, he's not the strongest guy, but if you understand the system,
do everything well enough
and you understand the scheme perfectly, you're following everything the way they should, you can be a very effective running back. Like I said, Jonathan Taylor, top five running back in the league. I think something similar could happen with Frank Gore Jr., where he may start his career not as a starting running back, probably as a part of a committee approach. But I think as he develops and as he learns the playbook and as he refines some of the skills, like he's not great at pass blocking. His dad has said this on the broadcast before, that this is something he needs to work on. That's what Frank Gore got so good at. It's why
that's a football dad.
Exactly.
Right there, by the way, it was just like, what is your son need to work on? A shit ton of things. Just like,
so, but he's also not afraid to sort of say that there's a lot of things I like about him. There's a lot of things that he still needs to work on. So he's being honest. So it's just like there's the pass blocking is definitely one of the things Frank Gore Jr. needs to work on. Like I said, some of the vision is there. I think it can develop a little bit further, but that will come with time. But just he's a guy that, like I said, may not start as a starting running back wherever he gets drafted, but I think he has the talent and the determination. And like I said, the pedigree coming from, you know, being the son of a gifted dad who lasted so long in the NFL because of all of that sort of factors, those X factors that you just can't account for. I think he can sort of follow the same thing there.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on this, because this was a comparison I was thinking of with Trey Benson going all the way back to the beginning of this episode. Was I almost compared him to Frank Gore, because he reminded me of, like, okay, he's a very low, like, center kind of gravity type of running back that just kind of has that contact. He doesn't truck over people. Frank Gore very rarely, like, trucked over people. He just kind of got you 5 yards and okay, and that's all I want. And the only thing that made me move off that comparison was Benson's a better catch passer than Gore ever was.
Did you say cast patcher?
Pass catcher.
It did not sound like
I said
like
pass
that.
Catcher.
We're it did not sound like fact. That. It sounded right, like gonna, you reversed it. It was very
it's
weird.
11, it's 11:20 my time. Give me a break. We're going to roll that tape back, though, because I'm pretty sure I said pass catcher.
Okay.
Benson is a better pass catcher than Gore ever was, so I moved off that comparison. But Frank Gore Jr. is a poor man's Benson, in my opinion. They have a very similar like play style. So yeah, I think all those comparisons are absolutely fair. And no, I think I don't know if Gore Jr. is going to get drafted. That's going to be an interesting day three thing to keep my eye on.
I could see him getting drafted in the sixth round. That's what I'm sort
he's
of seeing
a, he's
right
a
now.
He's a sixth or seventh round pick for sure.
But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes undrafted too. Like, I'm seeing a lot of reports saying that's like that's where they sort of have him pegged. But like I said, I think because of the pedigree naturally and how long his dad played, I think somebody will take him in the sixth round. But like I said, that's just my hopeful thinking.
I agree. So, all right.
Hopefully by San Francisco too. But all right, Taylor, let's sort of flip the page here. Let's get to the other side. Like, who's a guy that you're just not as high on?
I don't get the love for this man. The more I really want to love him, because I do think I love the school. I love their flashy uniforms. I already gave away my answer with that. Bucky Irving, I don't get the love for him. I really don't, because and yes, my own bias was playing in as I started this tape. Because yes, I know for all these stupid ducks start quacking in my ear. I know it is a different system. The LaMichael James and, you know, who DeAnthony Thomas and all these other people, just leave me alone. I understand. But I was expecting a fast athletic running back, and I got that. Bucky Irving is a very fast athletic running back. However,
Jonathan Stewart with the Orchid, right?
I did not say Jonathan Stewart.
No, but I'm just saying that he. I was just trying to think of other Oregon running backs. I was like, I think he went to Oregon.
Did Jonathan Stewart go to Oregon? Look that up.
I thought he did.
I don't think he did. Yeah, look that up for me. I'm pretty sure he didn't go to Oregon. Oh, God. LeGarrette Blount. That's another one. See that. All right. We're playing Immaculate Grid live on air. But, college football Immaculate Grid. That would be a great idea.
Oh, I'd be terrible at that.
Oh, I'd be so good at that. Point being is, gosh, see, I already forgot what I was talking about. Bucky Irving. Thank you. Yeah, I'm back. All right. So Bucky Irving is, okay. You know what? This is actually perfect. He should run like a Michael James, but he runs like a LeGarrette Blount. And it makes no sense to me of just like he is a speedy back and like create space for him. And when you do create space for him, he does a lot with it. I'm not saying he's a bad running back by any means. But the unfortunate thing is he's a north and south runner. And I don't understand why he is, because he doesn't have the build to be a north and south runner. He has so much opportunity. And it's funny is, what was it? It was the Washington game. Is I was watching his Washington tape and he was just like 3 yards. 3 yards, 3 yards. And I'm like, okay, for a 5'8 running back, I don't want you to be my grinder. I don't want you to be my guy who's just going to like kind of give me up the field, because your career's only going to last like 2 years at that point. But then within the 10, maybe the 8 yard line, is he ran this really sick counter play where like he did this and then juked like 3 Washington players out for the touchdown. It was so cool. Why can't you do that? Like, now, I'm not going to say all the time. I don't want you to be, goddamn Barry Sanders. But at the same time, you got to show me more of that. Don't just run up and down the field. Show me that you understand how to create space for yourself. And that's why I bring up with Cody Schrader, with other running backs we talked about tonight, where it's just like, you can't let the offensive lineman make the play for you. You have to make the play. I'm not impressed when your offensive line pulls off everything perfectly and then you look shifty and you get in the end zone. That doesn't impress me when it comes to offensive line or running back analysis, because that tells me you let your teammates do the job. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but then don't expect me to give you the gold medal for it. And that I kept getting that with Bucky Irving over and over again, where every good play he made, I would run it back. And I swear to God, this is true. I legitimately run it back. Look at what his offensive line did, and it was his offensive line that made the plays for him. I don't want that of a running back. I want a running back. That's why we both love Ray Davis so much. Ray Davis took what was given to him, and then he was like, all right, here's where I go from here. With Bucky Irving, he's just like, here's where I'm supposed to go, and then you just go there no matter what. So Bucky Irving, he's not a bad back. He will make a very good complimentary back, but I think he will be drafted as a potential future number one, like Austin Eckler type, and he is not that.
Yeah, and I brought this up when we were talking about the combine winners and losers, and I think Bucky Irving as one of my picks. I think I ended up going with Troy Franklin, if I remember correctly, but Bucky Irving was a close second as a guy that I was going to bring up, because he just didn't look all that clean during the position drills. I haven't watched as much tape probably as you have on him just yet. I still need to get to him a little bit more, but just
it's bad.
From what I saw, too, I think it's just like, yeah, that inconsistency that you sort of laid out, where just like, sometimes it looks like he could be that home run threat ability, but then the other times just looks like he's only grinding out 2-3 yards at a time. It's just like, that's not what I want with the back of his style, especially. I think that's the biggest thing. So I will need to watch a little bit more tape of him. But yeah, I kind of agree with you as of right now that just, yeah, maybe the hype is a little bit high of Bucky Irving. But I got a take here that maybe is a little bit controversial, because I know as I brought it up to you before we started recording, you're like,
if you say Imani Bailey, I will kill you.
Oh, no, don't worry. We're not going to ditch TC. We're going to talk one of the other 40 other college teams that you love for some reason. I got to talk about a Michigan running back here. I got to talk about Blake Corum.
No!
When I was watching the tape, I just felt like the hype was a little bit overblown. Like, I mean, the numbers are impressive. He's a touchdown machine for sure. But just like, I just didn't see, once again, very much what you said. We're just like, I think the awesome offensive line did a lot of their job so well that just it made it so easy for Blake Corum. But just, I think here's the big thing, too. And this is something that I brought up with Ray Davis. As to like, I just concerned about his longevity, where he's logged 731 That's total touchdowns
in his
college career. He's entering the league at 24 as well. impressive numbers in 2023, but his 2022 numbers were a lot better. So it makes me wonder, like, did Michigan sort of like try to ease him back that last year at Michigan? And just like, is it going to be the same thing getting into the NFL? Like, was there just, did he lack that ability that I had in 2022? Because I remember in 2022, everybody was talking about this guy being the Heisman winner if he didn't get hurt. But it's like, you look at his 2022 number stat, he had 8 100-yard rushing games in 12 games played. Last year, 2023, he had 3 100-yard rushing games in 15 games played.
So that dropped him from 30% to 10%.
Sure, why not?
Okay, well, we're on with Ted Math.
But just arguably, like I said, I saw a lot of good things with him. I saw the cutbacks. I saw the jukes. I saw a lot of that shiftiness that you want at that second level. But overall, it's just like what you're sort of explaining. We're just like, he was good at a lot of things, but I didn't see anything that elite level where so many guys are picking this guy as a top three running back. I just didn't see that. We're just like, once again, it's just like he's churning out these like 3 or 4 yard runs, which is not what I want from a 5'8", 200-pound running back. Now, some of the times that's great because he's got such a great lower half. Like, I mean, just such strong legs that, like, very similar to what I was talking about with Trey Benson, where it's just like, if he could develop what Blake Corum could do at the power level, 100% Trey Benson can become a three-down running back because of what Blake Corum could do, where it's just like, he keeps those legs moving. He's a very powerful lower half type of runner, so he's got the low center of gravity. Very reminiscent of, like, Maurice Jones-Drew, a smaller running back who came in and had a good blend of speed and power. Yeah. But it's just like, unfortunately for me, where I saw Maurice Jones-Drew being a little bit more faster than Blake Corum, I think that's what separated Maurice Jones-Drew from Blake Corum, where it's like coming in as a smaller back, you sort of need that extra level to your gameplay then. It's just like, I just don't see it with Blake Corum. I think he could be a very good running back, but very similar to what you're talking about with Bucky Irving, potentially people thinking him as being a lead back in a backfield. I don't see that with Blake Corum, where people may peg him as a lead back. I can see him as a very good complimentary piece. You know, we're talking about Jonathan Stewart. I just confirmed it. He did go to Oregon, so I got that one.
Did he really?
Check for me on that one. Wow. But it's like very similar to what we saw with Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams in Carolina. I think I could see that with Blake Corum and somebody else being that sort of 1-2 combo punch that a backfield could really benefit from and an offense could really benefit from. But just, yeah, for me, I'm a little bit lower on Blake Corum than so many other people, including yourself, I think.
No, I 100% agree with you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. How about that? The Rage of Side Guys agreement.
Today's episode. Yeah, we agreed on everything.
This has been a bad episode. We'll fight during wide receivers. Don't worry, people.
Probably true.
Troy Franklin's the best. Shut up. No, I am not taking that take. I have watched this tape. Trust me, I am not taking that take.
Okay, all right.
No, you're good. God, my receiver is going to be a slog, too. Anyway, point being is, going back to Blake Corum, no, I think you absolutely nailed it. And I think that's a great kind of weird comparison we walked ourselves into is a Jonathan Stewart type. I think that's perfect fit for him is because I love his field vision. That's what I love about him the most. I think his vision.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, his field vision is the best out of anyone. He lacks the top end speed, but he does what he has to.
That's kind of
what Jonathan Stewart did too. It's like, he just give me the 8 yards. He got me the 8 yards. Thanks. And like, that was kind of the thing with Blake Corum. And so it was actually funny as I want to hear your thoughts on this. You compared him to Jonathan Stewart. You know, I kind of like this comparison, but I compared him to Ray Rice.
I can say Ray Rice. I think, once again, Ray Rice had a little bit more speed. So I think that's the biggest thing that's separating them from Blake.
I don't think his speed's that bad.
I didn't see it as much. I think it was good, but I don't think it was great. I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay, but Ray Rice's speed was great?
I liked it a little bit better, yeah.
No, get out of here. All right. There's where we get our disagreement. No, Ray Rice is not a speed, so get the fuck out of here. No, I'm not going to make that joke.
Don't even. Don't even go there.
But point being is, I think that Blake I think that Blake Corum is absolutely able to be a perfect complementary back with that vision and everything and his shiftiness and everything. It's just, again, we fall back into what we started this episode with, which is a 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E, 1F, all that type of thing. Is like, it just depends. If a team drafts Blake Corum to carry, you know, the carry the carries or handle most of the carries of that team, yeah, they just made a mistake because he's absolutely not capable of doing that. But if they're, how about this? If it's a, you know, Buffalo Bills situation where they draft Blake Corum, all of a sudden that's very interesting because then, like we were talking about, is Zach Moss. Well, now they have a Zach Moss-esque player that's back in there. So it's just, it's very hard to evaluate a lot of these players until we know where they go. And that's why you should watch our live stream once it starts, because then we can start giving you all those breakdowns.
100%. But like we talked about, you know, just turn it back just a little bit before we close out the episode here. But Jim Harbaugh, if he does draft Blake Corum, that's a perfect setting for him, because they signed Gus Edwards and you pair him up with Blake Corum. That's a perfect running back room right there. So I could see that very much happening.
I don't know what this offense like is going to... No, I don't. I don't not like it, which is double negative. But I don't know if Harbaugh... I have no idea what this Harbaugh Chargers team is going to look like. The Chargers analysis this offseason is going to be such a pain in the ass.
It's true. It's true.
I need to see preseason. Can they play the Hall of Fame game? Can we have that happen?
All right, guys. So that will close out our episode. We're going a little bit longer with this content because there's just a lot of it to get
there's
to. We're so trying
much.
Our
there's
best.
There's like 15 running backs to break down.
There's so much. But guys, like we talked about, we're not going to cover every position group in our episodes here, but we will drop you position graphics with every single position group. So guys, make sure you follow us on all of our social media handles. You see the ticker coming right down below. Kind of at the end this time, unfortunately.
Guys,
make sure you follow us on all our social media handles. You got me at @UpTheSide23. You got Ted at @TedSide94. Got the show handle at @TheSideGuys. And of course, on Instagram at @TheSideGuys. We just dropped our quarterback rankings graphic just a couple days ago. So make sure you look for the running backs ones and all future graphics coming up in the next couple of weeks. Make sure you subscribe really to your podcast. You're always up to date with our podcast. Watching us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And guys, please, please support our parent network at LFB Network, because without them, there would be no us. They're giving you a lot of great content when it comes to the Rams and the Chargers at the NFL level and the Bruins and the Trojans when it comes to the college level. So lots of great content coming from them. We appreciate them so much. We appreciate you so much to everybody who's giving us, you know, great support on social media, interacting with us, follows, all that stuff, subscribe to our podcast, listening to our YouTube, watching our YouTube videos, listening to the podcast. We just anything and everything that you're doing to support us, guys, we really just can't thank you enough.
And hey, if you need Dynasty Fantasy Football League advice, we are your guys. If you need draft advice or draft, you know, just, hey, I heard about this guy, how about him? We are your guys. As you can clearly tell, we are diving very deep. And it's taking a lot.
We're getting into it.
We don't mind. But if we're going to do it, make it worth our while. So hit us up with your questions to make it worth our while. And when we come back post-draft, we are so ready to talk anything and everything fantasy football. If you know what? Honestly, I'm trying to get into hockey. So if you want to talk a little hockey, teach me something a little hockey, I'm down. Basketball, we're also big fans of that. So basically, if you just want to chat, have a good time, have a good sports conversation, we're always there for you. YouTube comments, Instagram messages, Twitter messages. What else am I missing? We're not on Facebook, but basically just hit us up at anything that's being listed below. And if you're wondering, if you're a listener saying, what is below? Go on YouTube. Find the LFB Network on YouTube because they have awesome shows as well. So as always, everyone, thank you so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening, and stay safe, everyone.